You've killed the Wicked Witch of the West. And now we're free. Thanks to you, we're free! Everybody look around, cause there's a reason to rejoice, you see. Everybody come out, and let's commence to singing joyfully.
Everybody look up, find the hope that we've been waiting on.
Everybody's glad, because our silent fear and dread is gone.
Freedom, see, has got our hearts singing so joyfully. Just look around, you're over to yourself to check it out.
Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day? Can't you feel a brand new day?
Hello. Welcome to episode 12 of Black Girls Glee. This is the show where we celebrate black girl magic and talk about peeing a lot. So, you know, the classy with the ratchet. That's us. I'm Dee Dee, also known as Dust Daughter on Twitter.
And I'm Andrea, also known as Indusinger on Twitter.
And we have a special guest that we're going to, we'll just introduce her now, but we're going to have an interview later. Our special guest is author Katrina Jackson. She just released her novella called Encore, which you can find on Amazon, and we'll provide the link in the show notes. Katrina is an underappreciated caregiver of three cats who are also jerks. She likes sarcasm, dry humor, and rom-coms. She also teaches history as her day job, which is sometimes rewarding, but mostly just full of awkward pauses. Welcome, Katrina.
Hi.
How you doing?
All right.
Well, thank you for
literally sharing. Fighting with a cat right now, but mostly I'm fine.
Well, we're rooting for you. We hope you win the fight.
I hope. Thank you.
So we'll talk more with Katrina about her new novella later. But first, we have to remind you of our spoiler policy and other housekeeping news notes. Of course, as always, we spoil shit on here. That is our spoiler policy. So if we talk about a show that you haven't seen yet, then you might want to skip ahead because we might inadvertently spoil stuff. And also once again, we do talk about pain a whole lot, a whole hell of a lot. So if that's not your bag, then you can fast forward that segment as well. So now we're going to get into our feedback. And we actually got another iTunes review. Yay! Squee! Oh, yes, that's another thing we need to add to housekeeping. There will be high-pitched squeeing, like, all through the show, mainly from Enda. She's the high pitch. I'm the lower
Especially
register.
Especially when we get to some of wrestling-worthy news.
Yes, and also the DWIDP. So,
yes!
Enda is the high notes. I am the low notes, and you know, just protect your ears. Have your finger on that volume button. Now, to get back to our iTunes review, Tico said, "Excellent show, 5 stars. finally, a show where we can find some great dialogue among classy, intelligent black women. Okay, I'll take intelligent. Classy? Yeah.
Okay, well, classy, you know, they may have a whole lot of leeway in how they define classy. So, you know, we could fall under that.
We could. I just feel like two people that talk about peeing as much as we do just fall just shy of classy.
Yeah, not just because we're not respectable doesn't mean we're not classy.
Okay.
Not me.
I'll take that. All right. Thank you for the compliment, Tico. And thank you for the review. And, send us some more reviews. We'd love to read them on the show. Also, you can send us feedback on Twitter, at Black Girl Squee, just like several people did. And you can also email us at blackgirlsquee@gmail.com, like K Rage and SF did. And she sent us a nice email. Says, I had too many thoughts to send off a tweet, but here's what I was thinking. So I just caught up with the series, and there's a lot of speculation that Wes Kristoff is Annalise's son. Since I love your segment and this show is the most. The very most. Yes, it is. It's...
Yeah.
I was rewatching / streaming season one while I've been working on finalizing my lab notebook and write-ups. But what if Annalise and Eve have something to do with the circumstances that led to Wes Kristoff's mom's death? He did say she committed suicide, and it seems a little too easy for Wes to be Annalise's son. We with you on that.
They know something.
So then, we can have a show with all the black characters not related, but it does track that this show's shenanigans, like guilt and culpability of Annalise and Eve, and how they feel about how Wes's life turned out. Okay, it's not a great theory. I think it's, it's pretty much along the lines of where we've been thinking. But I would love to have this show not have Wes and Annalise related. Church!
Yes. We're on that one, too.
We're all here on that. I don't know if you know, my Twitter name is Anna West Trash. I haven't changed it. I won't change it until, you know, the show says they're related or I get bored. But, we're not here for the Wes and Annalise being family like that. Because there's already so much incest with the Philip character and blurg. I hear you, girl. Please keep your show going. I know I'm constantly tweeting about not hearing Enda, but I love hearing your squeeze and just thoughts and updates. And of course, my favorite segment, DWIDP, DWIDT, DWIDA. Oh, okay, now I figured out. Thighs and ass.
Okay. Ah,
God, okay. I was scratching my head for a minute.
I knew DWA was after.
She's trying to expand it. She's trying to expand the segment. Okay, I feel you. Right on, K-Rage. I would love to hear your exaltation of women. Thank you. See, Enda? But the only acronym and such weren't as neatly themed. That's okay. We thought of a sort of solution about that. Give us feedback on it later. But I feel like early in your shows, one or both of you had wives already claimed. That was me. I'm not sure if you could add another segment, but I do know that Gina Torres is at the top of that list, which, whoo, lovely and talented. K-Rage, yeah. why you got to get me started on Gina Torres? Don't get me started on Gina Torres. I will never stop. Yeah. Never. You don't understand.
Yeah, this is a Gina Torres love, podcast here. We love Gina Torres.
That is my queen and one of the wives in my head always. And I hate it when, you know, they show posts of her working with Lawrence Fishburne and, you know, I'm reminded that she's married to somebody who isn't me. So, yeah. So, see, you got me started on Gina and now I don't want to stop. But yeah, Gina is everything. All right. Hope you are doing well and had a safe, happy holiday. Feel free to read any or just part of this email and or if it is needed. Best, K-Rage. yeah, but girl, we with you. That's where our lines are, our minds are going as far as how to get away with murder. It would just be way too neat and safe in a show that hasn't even ever wanted to be safe or neat. This show is messy as fuck.
Yeah.
Why would you want to
do it?
Yeah, that's why we love it. So, yeah, they can't be related. But as far as you saying that, you know, it might be made to look like a suicide, that was the episode where we saw Asher's father. Asher's father's death was ruled a suicide and made to look like a suicide. So you may be onto something there as well. It could be a murder that was made to look like a suicide in both Asher's father and Wes's mom's case. Or it could be suicide. I don't know. If Eve and Annalise were involved, I'm really thinking that it wasn't suicide.
Yeah.
Because then they wouldn't need to be involved unless they were working with a professor who was the counsel for Wes. What if Wes's lawyer was his dad? And they were students of Wes's dad. I don't know. Okay.
I think if Wes's mom did commit suicide, I'm still thinking recently somehow drove her to it.
She do be driving a lot of people to their deaths.
Yeah. They are involved in it some sort of way. They're not worried for nothing. They definitely had a hand in it somewhere.
Yeah. Some people have even speculated that, you know, Eve and Annalise might have been part of their own like murder club back when they were in law school.
Mm.
Which
explain why Annalise is so good at gathering her.
Yeah, that's why she's so good at like getting other people to do her dirt now. Because she's already got bodies on her from law school. She don't want to do that no more.
Yeah.
But who knows? She might have had people killing for her then. That's the way she got it.
Yeah.
All I know is I need more shirtless Nate in the back half of the season.
Yeah, that's just so necessary.
It's essential.
Yeah.
So come on,
she
Pete.
Does not work that specific.
Yes. Anyway. Tangent. All right. So thank you, K-Rage, for that great letter, great email. Keep them coming. As you can see, we have lots of thoughts about how to get away with murder. We could do a whole damn podcast on that.
Yes.
So, so you wanna get the next one?
Okay. And this feedback comes from me at MIMXYOOJ on Twitter. She says, Please add links to the things we talk about in the DWIDP segment. That's why I don't have to spend time searching. She also says, Idris Elba is the whole package. Yes, 1,000 times, yes. I've always enjoyed a pair of thick thighs myself. That was a piece of little friend.
Yes!
Wait, I have to say.
Yes!
She replied. She replied from a picture.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I tweeted. Okay. Enda's laughing because I tweeted me a picture of Warren Brown's assets, shall we say, which are round and juicy, and she tweeted back a picture of a knife and a fork. So she approved of that pic. We got a lot of response to people who probably don't even listen to the show when I tweeted out this visual guide last week to our most popular segment. So I guess we'll keep on doing that so y'all don't have to keep searching for the pictures that we talk about. I figure that's the way that involves the least work amount of work for me, so we're going to keep it rolling like that.
She saw that we had this share on the web all this time. She's like, apologies for accusing me of being greedy. I'm like, that is no problem whatsoever. We have no problem finding more, EWIDP for you.
Yeah, we take this shit serious, me.
But yeah, she also did mention that it wasn't fair to show the picture of Warren who's standing next to Idris because Idris outshines him. And
That's true.
I'm like, that's how none of us figured out he had such a nice ass before. We were watching moments.
Yeah. Too busy looking at Idris. That's why I had to tweet her that picture that I couldn't find before. Of the booty. So. I don't know if you've seen this, Katrina. I'm going to send it to you in the chat if I can. This is something that needs to be shared. Yes, I try. As soon as let me just scrounge that link up. Okay, keep going into.
Feedback comes from Manicool J, who tweeted us, nobody saw Billy Brown go talk to Buddy Boy. In fact, someone was basically all buttons and bumps.
Don't nobody better tell Billy Brown about them top two buttons. Never. We'll keep a secret, if you will. We will do it. Yeah, don't tell Billy Brown about button ups. Just somebody take them out of his wardrobe and don't ever replace them. And take polo shirts out too, just everything basically. So much for the feedback. We love that y'all appreciate this important work that we do. Updating y'all on the prints y'all need to pay attention to. This is quite important to us and also very fun. and also it's comforting to know that y'all can be just as ain't shit as we are. So thank you. Just shout out to y'all. you can tweet us at BlackGirlSquee on Twitter. Email us blackgirlsquee@gmail.com check us out on our Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. So now we're going to quickly jump into our squee-worthy news. And the first item is our lovely co-host, Miss Inda Lauren, has been on the podcast trail. She had her own episode of The Chromatic Life, sitting in Inda's Corner, it was called, where she was given the distinction of having a sulky olive oil voice.
See, there you go, bring up old shit again.
No, no, I told you, I'm never letting it go, I'm never. So we're lucky to have that olive oil voice with us every episode on Black Girl Squee. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Love you. And yeah. That voice was also on the Comatose podcast, the most recent episode, number 74. Check her out on those and see why she has such a silky olive oil voice.
I'm getting to you back for this.
What? You can't reach me? You can't find me? I say it with love. I'm just promoing for you. This is promo.
Mm-hmm.
Just love it.
All right. So next time when I'm on Chromatic Life and Javier has me drag you along, we'll see what he says about you that I can hang over your head for the rest of the
week. No, see, what had happened was... I don't know about all that. I mean, what else can I don't have a silky olive oil voice like you.
You don't know that. You might hear it differently.
Nah. Or he might not, because I might never go on the show. Ha! Huh?
No, I'm going to drag you. I'm going to drag you along.
Okay. All right. Next item is a great... article on For Harriet, Black Attitudes Matter, Why I Don't Care If You Think I Look Mean, written by Ashley Shackelford. I just really wanted to talk about this because I'm sure every one of us has gotten the, you know, you got such an attitude just for, you know, not smiling enough or... not being what other people assume, you know, assume is cheerful or whatever. I was just really feeling this article as I read it, because it just talks about how Black women have every part of them, their emotions, their body. Their body language, everything is policed. And when you refuse to conform, you know, they just do their best to punish and drive you up a wall and, you know, and then make you think you're crazy on top of it, all of that. So definitely check out that article if you've dealt with these kind of micro aggressions and macro aggressions even, because I'm sure this whole stereotype about Black girls having a bad attitudes is contributed to the deaths of women like Sandra Bland, and a number of other women that have been attacked by the police. So this is more important to talk about than you think. So, to Ashley Shackelford, we give a big...
Oh my God, that's louder with my headphones in.
Sorry, we did warn you. We did warn you. Sorry.
It's never been that loud before. It really is loud, y'all.
We're gonna have to have another warning, like in the show notes.
cue when the flea comes up, so you can, disengage before the flea.
Yeah, well, maybe we should give you a 3 count before we do it. All right. So, you got the next one, Inda?
Yeah. This February, February 15th, back, we're getting new music from a group called Queen. If you remember, a couple of years ago, they put out an EP called The Story. It was only like 3 songs on it, but man, it was so awesome. I just loved it. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to include them on the show, another show I do. And, they've only had like maybe dropped a few singles since 2011. 5 years later, we finally about to get them. I cannot wait, but you can pre-order it on iTunes, and you can also pre-order it on Instagram.
Yeah, I love their voices together. King has just the most beautiful harmonies, and their music is just so soothing to listen to, and it's soulful and soothing at the same time, and it's just absolutely lovely. So very excited to get a full album from them. So we're going to definitely put those links to pre-order from iTunes and Bandcamp. We'll put those in the show notes for you. So for the ladies of King, we give a big 1, 2, 3. Squee! That better, Katrina?
It was, actually.
Okay, good. All right. Well, that's what we'll do. That might help the listeners as well, Oh, okay. See, feedback helps. That's why we need y'all's feedback. The next bit of news, Rachel Stewart has created a line of jewelry based on Octavia Butler's novels. And, which is very exciting. Once you take a look at them, I had to put this in there because I love Octavia, and this jewelry is really beautiful. Mm. So you can check out her jewelry on her website, which is Rachel Stewart Jewelry, all one word, .com. To Rachel Stewart and Octavia Butler, we give a big 1, 2, 3. Squee! All right, your turn, Inda.
Okay. Our next item is regarding news. We have to extend a very, very big congratulations to Nerdgasm One Network. They won Best Podcast in the Blackwell Blog Award.
Yay! Well deserved.
Yeah. I mean, as y'all know, we love the Gavin Law around here. They're part of our information. And just knowing that they won, Best Podcast in the Blackwell Blog, that's just totally made something.
I love that it's Best Podcast. Not best female podcast or best genre podcast. They win the whole shebang. So, yes, very much deserved. They've gone under the radar for far too long. So, hopefully, this gives them the the notoriety they deserve.
I hope it really just irritates me to not see all these lists that they have, this is a podcast you should listen to, but it's someone who already has a platform and, then they decide to go on to what podcast or whatever reason, Nerdcast is still there, the ground up.
Yeah. They're OGs.
Yeah. Like, listen, like, y'all owe them.
So, to the ladies of Nerdgasm Noir Network, we give a big, huge, colossal 1, 2, 3 squeeze! Did you blow some of the walls of your house down into just then? Did they just collapse?
No, I think this cat just ran into the hills. Though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I bet Katrina's cats could hear that squeak.
We're trying to help you win this battle with your cat, girl.
If it's keeping them out of the living room, y'all can do that all day.
Oh, God, don't. She'll do it, too.
And if it works, right. I will put a loop.
Okay. I'm scared to find out how... Cats are terrible. Right. Next thing we need to talk about for a minute is The Wiz Live. Came on Thursday night. We're just going to talk about it for a minute, Katrina. It's okay. just want to talk about it because it was a great moment, especially on Twitter. The live tweet was lit. For The Wiz Live, people were happy to see that many black people, that much talent on one stage at the same time. And, the reviews came in that were pretty positive for the most part, except for, some folks that didn't quite get it, the culture importance of the show. And by that I'm speaking about white folks. I don't know why I'm whispering that. This is my damn show. but we have to shout out to all the black girl magic that was on display that night from my girl Amber Riley. #Amber Riley Amber Riley is magic. Uzo Aduba. Ooh. #Yeah. Pick a slay. As the ladies of Another Round so eloquently put it, she's like a triple, quadruple threat with the acting and the singing, and she was an athlete back in her school days.
Queen Latifah. Lord have mercy, how does she remain so flawless with three costume changes?
Ooh. That Wiz outfit, though.
Girl, I said from the beginning, because this is actually why I was kind of interested in watching it. She is serving up some David Bowie / Freddie Mercury's realness in that. But then when I saw, the whole outfit, in the show, it was like, wow. I mean, that was just perfect.
And that hairstyle, the just showed on everything like that, she looked really good. She looked really really, really good. Like, hey, boo, good.
Just perfect. What everybody says is like, everybody was like, oh, this is the look how good I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I'm going to be now.
She looked like, hey, can I get them digits good? So, shout out to her. Who else are we met? Mary J. Blige.
Mary J. Blige, who nobody thought would be that good.
But she stayed on key.
She stayed on key.
Pitch was just right.
She delivered the acting the way it should have came out. Like, there was she was over the top.
Yeah, she was camping it up.
Supposed to be, but it worked in that. It worked because that's kind of how you take it.
Yeah.
Not like evil, but, a baddie. So, she kind of gave it. She brought it with no bad news. She even...
Yeah.
I was like, look at this. Like, I'm like, that was awesome.
She was getting it crunk up in that dancery. Go ahead.
The joke's awesome.
The memes were, they were like, that was like the best part of live tweeting The Wiz, or just following all the tweets, were all the little memes and the GIFs.
Yeah.
I was right click save as in like a mofo, because some of those are just too good.
Yeah.
So if you see those popping up on my timeline, it's because I stole them. So I'm going to tell you now.
Yeah.
Stephanie Mills.
Stephanie Mills.
Sounded like, her voice sounded like, just like back in the day when she was singing, I never knew, I never felt like this before. Yeah. Her voice ain't changed.
Not a bit.
She was great as Aunt Em. And then
I just love that she got to bring that full force of percussion into her show for you.
Yes.
I love that she got to bring that around.
That's great. It was great. Great casting. And then our Dorothy, Shanice Williams. She was wonderful as Dorothy.
She was.
She did such a good job.
Yeah.
So. What?
Has she done a sprout?
I think she just graduated from high school.
She did.
Yeah, she just, and then just from high school to this. All right. Next stop, Broadway.
I know, right?
So, like we said, a lot of black girl magic in The Wiz live. So
it was just, the whole show was just so unabashedly black.
Yeah.
I mean, and one thing I really love is that when they got to the MLC, they brought ballroom stuff in it.
It was,
I'm like, Ellen Magic is somewhere like, thank you.
It was so, man, Emerald City is the place to be.
Yeah.
I never wanted to be in a club as much as I wanted to be up in Emerald City.
I know. Like, shoot, a club was like that, I go.
I mean, they were voguing and Laomi dropping. It was wild.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all are really getting it up in here in Emerald City. And those poppies.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about those poppies, because I don't know. That should have raised the rating up from G to PG-13 at least. They were just switching and, you know, with those skin tight bodysuits. Yeah, I'm just saying. I was looking. So.
Oh, this is the same one I asked for. I mean, poppies are distractions.
Yeah.
Poppies are distractions. I mean, pretty much.
They would have got me. They would have got me. I'd have been stuck there, right there, and happy about it. But, so, that was The Wiz. So, to all the ladies of The Wiz, we want to give a big 1, 2, 3. All right, we're done. You can come back now, Katrina. Please do come back, because in our main topic is you, Katrina.
Yay! That's only a little bit awkward.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And you know, just saying, there may or may not be a squee coming up a little bit.
Hold on, let me take one headphone out.
Okay. But it'll be coming later. We'll do the three count. So today, our main topic is an interview with Katrina Jackson. As we said before, she just released a new novella called Encore, which is a romance about second chances, I suppose. We'll say
that was the original title.
Oh, yes.
Wait,
oh, that's
that,
right. No, but I forgot, girl, so you know me.
Oh.
But yes, but we'll say that because we don't want to spoil too much about it, right? Got to read this. Buy it and read it. So, where are you from, Katrina?
California, originally.
Yes, okay.
Are there more California girls on the show?
No. Oh, no, we're Southerners, but...
Yeah, we're Southerners from by birth, but we both migrated.
Yeah. I'm in D.C., and Enda's in the Midwest.
I'm in the Midwest, too, now.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm sad about it, though, so...
I kind of am, because winters are harsh.
Yes. Yes. And I never know how to, like, I don't like, I like layers, but, like, in the winter, you need, like, 8 layers, and they're all hecka thick. I can't do that. I can't do that.
Yeah.
Hecka? Yeah, you from California. We about to hit. Who are your favorite writers? What are your favorite books?
I think, like, I don't know, the audio's doing something weird. Hold on. I think, like, I'm both on both of them. So, I adore Joy Wolfers. And I also really loved, like, as a kid, I really loved Charlotte Bronte. But I think I just like really sad books, too. So I will read anything that makes me feel like, oh, my day is terrible.
Yeah.
I watch. But I love and I would read anything she wrote. And, yeah.
So have they influenced the way you write?
No, because they're so much better.
No. whatever.
I think the thing I take from every author I really like, is that their characters feel like people, and you know what I mean, like those really well developed, like characters who aren't perfect. They just have all of these really strange motivations. Like that's what I love. I think N.K. Jemisin is great at that too. Just in terms of someone I read right now, she's really great at writing characters who. You like who you love, but you may not like.
Yeah.
That's true.
I just read the 5th season and.
Yes.
Knocked it out.
I still haven't finished it. I want to be in the club with y'all. I want to talk about it.
Okay, not to spoil it for you, but yeah, I'm really liking this one better than I like the New Inheritance show.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, I actually agree with that.
Yeah. I need to get on it.
Oh my god. Okay.
She almost scrapped this book. She didn't like it.
She did?
Yeah.
I would burn something down.
Yeah. She almost let it go, but she didn't like it.
Wow. Wow.
Oh man. Wow. No, I remember, like, there's that moment when you realize what's happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was like laying in bed reading, and it had to have been close to midnight. I sat straight up and I was like, no, you did not.
No. I'm like, what?
Oh, it's one of them books you talk to. Okay, all right, yes. That's good.
Yes.
Because when you straight talking to a book, like the book can hear you. Okay, that's when you know it's good. It's got you. Yes. That's when the book has you.
Yes.
So, why do you write, Katrina?
I mean, that's a good question. I think, like, I have, like, this really big imagination, and I'm always thinking in stories anyway. And when I was a little kid, I wrote, and then I stopped writing when I got older. Like, they don't have, like, enough creative writing classes in school, in my opinion. And so, like, maybe in it was in graduate school, I finally sort of engaged with a few other writers, which is how I met Dee Dee. And I started trying to write again, mostly because it was an escape from my actual job. And it was it was like a place to channel like all of this creative stuff that I had going on in my mind that there was no room for in my work anyway. And you know, I like it. It's the I have to write for my actual job, and I don't like that writing at all, which is why I don't do much of it. But don't tell my boss. But the fiction writing I love, and if I could do more of that, I would, because I just like seeing these people, and I get like way too invested in the characters, even if I never publish it online or whatever. Like, I will think about those characters for like weeks and months at a time, and it's just like a nice escape.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to follow up, why do you write romance in particular?
Because I'm single.
You came back with that quick. Okay. All right.
There's no deep answer. Okay.
All right. Not mad at that. All right. Do you think that there's something missing in the romance genre?
I mean, I will say this. Like, I've spent a lot of time, like, in the second half of this year reading a lot of self-published lit. Mm-hmm. And I think there's so much out there that when I was younger trying to read romance, I was like, I'm not interested in bodice rippers. I'm not interested in love at first sight type stuff. Like, that's not for me. So I like that with self-published lit, you get a lot more. Although I will say the thing I'm always looking for are older people. Like, I don't really care what a 25-year-old thinks about love. Like, because I remember when I was 25 and I was wrong. So, I'm just not really interested in that.
Thank you. Okay. All right. We hear on that. We hear. yeah. And Encore does involve 40-something, 50-something?
I don't know. Probably 40-something. I kept messing around with that timeline, but in my mind, they're in their, like, mid-40s
okay,
or so.
Got you. Yeah. Although you can't tell, because it's hard to tell, because they be getting it in for some,
yes.
some mid-40-year-olds.
That's me hoping for my future.
Me too. That was me hoping when I was reading it. yes. maybe I too can find someone and go at it with them. Like,
right?
Like
rabbits.
Fucking rabbits.
That shouldn't stop when we hit 30. Like, you just got to keep it going.
That's right. From your lips to God's ears. Okay. do you want to fill any missing voids with your novels, or?
I think Encore was about that. Like, I purposefully wanted to write this older couple in a relationship, and I love, like, that persuasion type story, right, where you, like, had each other once, and then you lost each other, and then you sort of come back. I love that kind of story, and so this was me kind of trying to do that. But after this, not really.
Okay.
It's just, like, what would I want to read is essentially what I'm trying to write, and then I'm, like, excited if other people want to read it, too, but I think in general I'm writing for myself, which feels nice sometimes.
Yeah. There's less pressure that way.
Exactly.
Okay. How important is fan fiction to you?
Love it.
Dang, I was trying to go for some more open-ended and, you know, less leading questions, but, you know, that's
really simple. Love it.
Really love it. Okay.
Well, as far as fan fiction, do you have like any type of fan fiction that you like, or is there like a specific fandom or anything that you're into?
So yes. I love OT3 fic. I will read that in probably any genre, to be real with you. Like, any fandom, I'd be like, yep, I'm into that. I also tend to like, I mean, last season I was really into the Flash fic, but the Flash is kind of terrible right now, so I'm not really into that at the moment. I feel like, you know what fic I love right now? Sam Steve. I love Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson, and I will read like all that fic, especially if it's like real smutty, like real dirty.
Oh, wow.
Just like inappropriate. I'm like, yep, I'm into that.
I'm singing right now because you're delivering me. You are singing, yes. Singing my life with your words. Okay. So are you into Sam, Steve, Bucky at all, or just Sam Steve?
Okay, I know I just said I love OT3 fix, but I'm actually not into Sam, Steve, okay. Bucky, and that's mostly because of the fandom,
true.
Though.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, yeah. I can't get on that train.
Yeah, the fandom will turn you off to that. Too many times when you want to read a good, OT3 fic with those characters, it'll turn into Steve Bucky, like, right away.
Right.
It just on a pivot. So.
And they'll, like, tag it so that you think it's all three, but really it's just a mention of Sam. Like, is that Sam's coat? Really? You're gonna tag that with the OT3 tag? Yep.
Like, that's why I love the movement on Tumblr that,
yes.
That's clapping back at all the people who who erase Sam from their stories,
yes.
And then put it in the Sam tag. Like, that's disrespectful.
Yes.
So
yeah.
There's a few folks that are just make it their job to kind of scan the tag and correct some of that stuff. And I love it.
I love it too. And it's so, the thing I like about it is that they're being so respectful to Bucky in a way that they, like, rightfully would not have to be. You know what I mean? Like, they're not, like, pushing Bucky off to the side. Like, he still exists as a character, and he's as important to Steve. It's just, like, a really great response to how terrible that fandom is. And I hate it with all my heart.
2018, I'm about.
Yep.
As soon as Black Panther's on DVD, I'm out.
Yes.
So.
Oh, Chadwick Boseman, my husband.
You gonna have to share, girl. We've discussed this.
No. We've discussed this, and I just keep ignoring it. Like, I love him so much.
Damn, okay. Wow.
I get real territorial.
Yeah, she does. Well, yeah, I'm getting that from both of y'all.
Yeah. She's mad because I won't share my British husband according to BuzzFeed.
Who's the British husband?
Richard Armitage.
Hold up.
Shit. No.
I feel real betrayed right now. No, this is my husband. This is real serious.
Richard Armitage is my British husband.
No, BuzzFeed be lying, first of all. We all know they trash. Second of all, they have not met me yet, so they really can't say that he's not supposed to be with me.
I need to be.
You know he's my face claim, right? Like,
oh, he is?
He's Ian. Like, he is Ian. This entire story started with him. I can't.
Oh,
I can't.
God. Oh, God, stop.
I didn't even realize that.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I didn't know. I didn't think to warn you. I'm sorry. Don't.
You out here leaving like minds in the field for everybody. Like,
sorry, I really am. But please just.
Now I'm gonna be seeing the story in a different way because I pictured you.
Did you not know the face claims at all?
No.
Oh my God. Okay. Can I just tell you where this story started? Because like, yes. I love Richard Armitage.
Well, that was my next question. So go
okay.
Hit it.
Okay. So this story started like 2 years ago because I was deep in my Richard Armitage phase, which was like 3 years. And he never has a woman of color love interest on his movies and shows, with like one exception, and it always just pisses me off. Uh-huh. And I was like, and it was right like when he was doing The Hobbit and talking about getting his like American like, you know, visa to come work here. And then they cast him in that terrible Tornado movie with that white woman. And I was like, what is this trash? And I was like, why couldn't he come here and like have like a woman of like someone put him in like a woman, a film or something with a woman of color lead. And this was before Hannibal, which like rocked my whole entire life. And I was like, he would be perfect. Like, he's the kind of actor who would be perfect to act across from someone like Audra McDonald, who I just think is ridiculous. And so she's Catherine in my head. Like, the minute I put them together, like, in my mind, I was like, they would be ridiculous. Like, their faces, like, just real, like, deep kind of soulful work and, like, a lot of, like, looks and brooding. So, like, the story started from me being, like, a Richard Armitage fangirl and, like, really wanting to, like, see him as an actor work alongside someone who deserved it, to be honest. And so, yeah, it was, and I also like that they're, like, older, and this was, like, right around, I think, before Audra did Lady Day. And so it was, like, I think her gearing up to doing that, that performance, and so she was just so regal and like lovely. I just adore them, but I would love to see them together.
So Enda, you may want to like reread it with those place claims in mind, because it might it might change your world. So And now he's worked with Rutina Wesley, and he's
my love.
Yes, she was so good.
They were so. I mean, and this was like my whole point when like they cast them together. Like, they're such good actors, and like watching them play these ridiculous characters, first of all, do it so well. Oh man, yeah, I loved it.
And they made it so easy for you to like write an AU in your head for them.
Yes.
And I appreciate that, because I'm really not trying to do no serial killer romance. I'm really not into that.
I told you on Twitter, I was like in a fantasy.
Yes.
Like, oh, this is a lovely rom-com. Yes. Where this blind woman and this strange loner have found each other.
Exactly. Yeah, AU all day. So that was wonderful.
He's going to be in that movie with Naomi too.
Yes. Yeah, I will be there opening day for that.
It's probably going to be trash, but I'm going to be there too. I don't even care.
I do not. I just need to see all the love scenes. Everything.
Amen.
I'll just fast forward to that. So.
Mm-hmm.
All right, tangent. And what? What, if anything, do you want readers to take away from Encore?
When you're in your 40s, you can still have sex. Like, a lot of it.
And banging ass. Yeah. Great.
Yep. Do that. Do you. And him.
And her. So I have to say this, I should look forward to my 40s.
Yes.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Having just turned 40, yes.
The best is yet to come.
Yes, thank you, God. Okay. It can't get much worse. So
I'm going to take your word for that.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm just, hey, y'all are still 30-something, sir. I assume. But y'all youngins. But, okay. And the thing is, the whole, you know, they were once together and now they get back together and all that. It kind of made the love scenes hotter for me, because they were already familiar with what each other liked and everything like that. So they made a point of doing those things, I don't know. It just enhanced the love scenes for me. They really felt like love scenes, because I mean, you got to feel some sort of way for somebody when you, you know, you're doing everything right to kind of secure that they're satisfied or whatever. So that got me. That got me. So thank you, girl. So what do you think about self-publishing so far?
I actually kind of geeked out on the process. Like I published mostly because I was like, I want to do this thing, like, and complete a story and kind of put it out there. But the process I thought was really fascinating. Like, I don't know how other people feel about, like, Amazon's self-publishing platform, but I thought it was really fascinating just how much control you have, at least in some parts, other parts not at all. But I like kind of taking control of the whole thing, you know, like doing the copy editing with help, girl, thank you, and Dee Dee, and you know, kind of figuring out the cover, and like there are some parts I still have no idea like how that works, like the promotion stuff and like kind of getting it out there. That's I have no idea how that works really, and I'm not good at it anyway. But I really liked that I kind of got the chance to sort of finish the story and just sort of kind of send it out there. And if anyone is interested, it's available. But I got the feeling of completion, and I got the feeling of knowing that this was the story I wanted to tell. Even if there are flaws, like this was the story that I envisioned when I started writing it a few years ago. And it's kind of out there to find like a home if anyone wants it, or not. But, you know, I don't have to deal with like the kind of rejection of there, you know, there's nothing of value here because the lead is a woman of color, or, you know, these aren't like young people like banging in a bar. You know what I mean? Like there's a value here, and it's kind of out there, and I could do that on my free Saturday.
So, with that said, do you think more Black women writers should try to self-publish?
I actually think so. Like, I don't know if you guys saw that post, like, a year or so ago about, like, why people should be publishing their stories on Kindle, you know, either for, like, extra, you know, income or just to kind of get it out there. But I kind of took that to heart, and I sort of set that as a goal and then flopped on it for, like, a year. But then got back. And I really, again, I like the idea of us not having to wait for like, you know, some press to like our stories or to be able to fit this in a particular, you know, frame, right? Like, oh, this is like an African American romance, or this is like, you know, a multicultural, whatever it is, right? We could just sort of like kind of send this, you know, we could write what we want to write and kind of send it out into the world. And people can read it, and it's also like affordable and accessible. I think that's the thing I really liked about it too, is that, you know, I don't have like an online writing community anymore, which sucks, but there are people who can still like access this without it, you know, costing a lot of money or having to buy it like randomly on Amazon, you know, that kind of, you know, those like old school, like Black romance, like paperbacks that come like all hot, like hot mess with like the bad cover,
yeah,
whatever.
But
you know, it's just like freely actually, if you got Kindle Unlimited, it is freely accessible. Mm-hmm. But it's just available. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, there's no gatekeeper.
Right. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen like a lot of women like making this like a legitimate second career too, like publishing very frequently. And I mean, that's not going to be me because I'm too lazy, but I do like that other people are taking it. So I would absolutely recommend that other people, specifically Black women, sort of do this because there is a market for that. Although I've seen people complaining that that market is being like either flooded with not so great material or infiltrated by people who are probably not Black women, which I think is also a valid critique. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's also true for traditional publishing. I mean, it's like there's a lot of trash that got published, you know, somebody thought was going to sell or whatnot. But I mean, so I wouldn't just say it's just because, you know, self-publishing, you know, yeah, I've come across some real trash on self-publishing, but you know, I just stop reading it. Usually this is stuff that I got for free anyway.
Right.
And I'm like, still, I can go, you know, to a bookstore, pay for something that I thought was going to be good, and it can be absolute trash.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a whole subgenre of quote-unquote urban erotica that I'm not really feeling. I read one the other day that, it was terrible. I hated myself for finishing it, but I will not name that person that wrote it.
That's nice. I'd have named them, but
yeah,
that's nice.
I'll do it after the show. Because I need to cleanse my soul of that book.
I just hate those books that are, like, so reliant on stereotypes, and, like, the dialogue is terrible, and you're like, no one says that. No one's ever going to say that. Certainly not a black person. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? And that's the stuff that you, like, buy, like, if you go try and buy, like, yeah, like you said, something in a store. It's a crapshoot on if it's, like, actually legitimately good or if it's just a hot mess. And at least with Kindle, yeah, if it's free, it's a hot mess. I'm going to send this thing right back. Or it cost me $1, whatever. So,
yeah. So, yeah, you can afford to take a chance and even, you know, miss a couple of them. So,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So this next question is one that we ask all of our guests, all of our, you know, two guests so far, but it's kind of a favorite topic here. What have you learned about black women and pleasure from consuming media over the years?
That's a question. I think if you're consuming just like straight media, it's that black women have no pleasure. Like they get no pleasure. They deserve no pleasure. Or what they find pleasure in is so denigrated. And I think it's disgusting, which is why there's so many TV shows I won't watch and there are movies I won't see. I mean, it's just not worth it to me. But so part of the reason I like romance is that romance novels is that, I mean, for the right, with the right author, like black women's pleasure is right at the center of that. Do you know what I mean? And so I like at least the sexual pleasure. I like that exists in a sphere where if you're reading the right person, it's not stigmatized. And then even in other things, like I think one of the things I'm realizing in some of my stories is that I'm always kind of writing black women's relationships with one another. Because even just the idea of like laughing with your girlfriend or like, you know, mother and daughter, like that's a kind of pleasure we don't get to see either, right? Because we're written so often as combative with one another. I mean, I understand people who can watch it, but I can't watch Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, I like to pretend that it doesn't exist because it's so difficult for me to see those kinds of relationships kind of front and center.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the idea in my stories that I write or in, like, stories that I'm reading, the idea that, like, black women don't have to be stigmatized and they can find pleasure in whatever they find pleasure in, hopefully sex, and that's okay.
Ooh, you can't see me, but I've been doing the praise hands all through this answer. This is a word. Thank you, Reverend Jackson.
Ooh. My mother would be so proud. I'm not a human.
But you're preaching about sexual pleasure, so.
Well, we don't tell. We'll tell her that.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We'll keep that on the hush.
Literally, we're not.
No. I don't know you, mama.
Everyone who's read the book who doesn't know my mama, I'm like, shh, don't mention this on Facebook.
All right. So where can people find you if they want to tell you how much they love Encore?
I guess really just Twitter. I'm like never on there, but I'm Katrina Jax on Twitter, JAX on Twitter. And then I do have a Goodreads page, but you got to do all these steps to like take advantage of it, so I haven't done that yet. But feel free to write a review on there. I do check it out sometimes.
And on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I'm okay, that mm-hmm. as well. You can also find me there.
All right, so at Katrina Jax on Twitter, Katrina Jackson on Goodreads, and on Amazon. So everybody check out Encore by Katrina Jackson, and thank you so much for letting us interview you. That was fun.
Thanks for having me. That was fun.
We're just going to do a few more segments and then wrap up the show, so you're welcome to hang out with us or bounce it.
Yeah, it's been fun.
All right. So our rant segment, which we lovingly call Catch the Fade. What can Catch the Fade this time, Inda?
Catch the Fade this time? Every jackass on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr, who actually got mad that the Wiz had an all-black cast.
Oh, God. All these youngins.
What the fuck is wrong with you, and why are you so hungry? Okay. It's like, girl, how did you not know that the Wiz is actually a black version of Frank L. Baum's book, The Wizard of Oz? How do you not know that? And on top of that, how do you not know that it's been on stage since 1975?
It's just, but if we had an all white, if the Wiz was all white, then y'all would be mad, then we would be racist. The ignorance, it burns. It burns. See, these are people that don't even bother to go to the Google. Type the Wiz into the Google. The first thing you're going to see is a Wikipedia article probably saying the Wiz is based on Wizard of Oz by Frank L. Baum. There was a movie in 1930 whatnot starring Judy Garland and all these other white people. That's
all these other white people.
That's all you need to do. Go to the Google before you say some dumb shit. It ain't that hard.
I'm like, I bet these are the same people who can probably tell you that Wicked is fan fiction. I can tell you that Wicked is fan fiction from The Wizard of Oz, but somehow they've never heard of The Wiz.
Well, you know they don't know shit about us.
No. That's just woke ignorance right there. And then really just got so mad at us when we were doing the last week.
I'm trying to get my whole entire life. Please stop trying to interrupt that. It's like every time people try to have a good time, and then the next day you got CNN or somebody writing about Black Twitter, making observations of Black Twitter from a distance. Like we're not science projects. Oh my gosh. I just all of those folks can catch the fade. From mainstream media that is steady trying to antagonize Black Twitter in order to get hits and ratings and all that kind of stuff and clicks on their websites. And these dumb people that don't want to go to the Google before they pop off at the mouth on Twitter. All of them can catch the fade, a real strong fade, you know. Fuck y'all. So... Moving on to a new segment that is a response to our most popular segment, but less objectifying. We're going to talk about Squee Queens. So,
woo!
Yay! So this is, you know, what we thought to do in response to This Week in NetPrint. We're not going to do This Week in NetPrint for women, but we're going to talk about a few women that make us squee this week. So first off, got a shout out to Ms. Lupita Nyong'o, who is just like, you know, you're chilling, living your life, and then Lupita drops in a shoot with Vogue, or, you know, or she's on the cover of some, of Elle or something, just slaying your entire life, like, in a couple of photos, just, so, you know, it hurts, but it hurts so good. Keep doing what you do, Lupita, and I hope J.J. Abrams don't do you dirty in The Force Awakens. He better not. I will find him.
I also want to mention, she was on The Daily Show this week. She wore a dress that had Anthony Rice on it.
Sorry?
She was on The Daily Show this week. She wore a dress that had Anthony Rice on it. She's wearing a light up dress.
Wow. I just, yeah. Mm-hmm. She's flawless. So, she makes us squee. So, and another person who was on the latest episode of Another Round this week, Uzo Adupa. If you heard that episode, you'll find out that she ran track in high school. She also is classically trained to sing opera. She's just an all around talent and just a wonderful person, and the way that she recommended Nigerian weddings, that was just I love that part. That was beautiful. So, and I loved it. I loved it when Heaven just told her to pick a sleigh. Pick one. Like, that's what I want to say to all of these ladies. Like, pick a sleigh. You can only snatch my edges one way.
Yeah.
I only have so much to go around. But they don't listen.
I just love listening to her talk about all the things, like when she talks about, you know, the gap and what she wouldn't smile in pictures. And
Said,
the photographer who told her, well, I think you have a beautiful smile, I think you're beautiful. And she said she's heard it before, but she heard it differently that time.
And now she's smiling more, like she's making up on all the smiles she missed.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Shout out to Uza. She's amazing. Just have to shout out Amber Riley again. Talk about another lady who has to pick a sleigh. I mean, she's gorgeous, and she has a voice from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we already know from Dancing with the Stars, she can dance her butt off.
Yeah.
And she's an actress, so pick a sleigh.
Yeah.
Pick a sleigh, Amber.
I just love now that everybody who knew her from Glee are just kind of shading that show so much now, because the film, her character has just done very wrong in that industry. Now here she is destroying everything, and we have to kind of look back like, yeah, we might have made a mistake.
Yeah, they should have known that from Dancing with the Stars. But I guess, you know, some people they just don't learn.
Mm-hmm.
But they gonna learn on today. Amber Riley is everything.
Yeah, I'm just so proud. All the black females now, they're gonna be, they're all gonna go one of those cosplayers out of film now.
I hope that this will encourage her record company to get off their asses and release her shit.
Amen.
come on. And in Hollywood, she needs some roles
in some,
in some movie musicals. So we can see the acting and the dancing and the singing all in one shot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if she's going to take my life, then that's the way I want to go out.
I guess
we're just going to shout out all the Wiz girls again.
Yeah, because, I mean, the last class, the Wiz just brought so much to that. I mean, like I was saying before, first, you know, the gender bending. It's just perfect. I mean, she brought with an independent role of Wiz. And in a way, it also, she made the role gender queer.
Yeah.
Wow. She just
played. I mean, yeah, they were calling her he when she was in the Wiz costume, and then they flipped it after after they found her. But yeah, I really need her to holler at me. In that Wiz costume, with the hair. Come on through, Queen Latifah. Yeah. Just saying, 202. Oh, wait. Let me stop. Okay. Tangent. Let me chill.
This is one, you know, something I love about her. She's one of those, you know, she was a rapper. I'm sure a lot of people don't know. She was a rapper way back in the day. She was just evolved. I mean, she is an animated actress. She has done a jazz album, and she, you know, she supports other women and
she produced Bessie. She's definitely shown people a path to longevity in this business. So she's worn so many hats over the years: rapper, singer, actor, film producer, film star, and now talk show host on top of all that. And wow. So she's done a little bit of everything in Hollywood.
She's so
great.
She looks so beautiful in that show.
Ooh, somebody got a crush.
Did you see in the traveling outfit?
Oh yeah, in the traveling outfit too. Yeah, 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 but yeah, she really need to come in that green now.
I'm like,
yeah. So, those are our squeak queens. If you want to give us feedback on our new segment, please feel free at Black Girl Squee on Twitter, blackgirlsquee@gmail.com, and blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com. So now, the segment you've all been waiting for. It's This Week in Dat Print. I think you're gonna enjoy our first contestant, Katrina.
I'm ready.
We gotta talk about Yeah, we got to talk about Mr. Fukunaga.
Oh, sorry.
See? See what he do to people? See what he do to people? We have to.
Oh.
Because this man right here.
Sir.
He's way too fine. He's almost too fine to be just a director.
He is. Yes. Yes, he is. Sorry.
Like, I need you to come from behind the camera, son.
Please.
Ah, damn.
He needs to direct himself into my bedroom. That's what he needs to do.
What? Well. She went there. 0 to 100. Yes. She went all the way there. But it ain't a lie. He's really rude in these photo shoots.
Mm. Yes.
How dare you, have the nerve to, like, sit on a bed fully suited.
Yes.
Looking the way you, I mean, air. You may not have been trying, but that was suggestive as fuck, and it was rude. I don't appreciate it, but I love it. Next time, undo the top two buttons, and, it's optional whether or not you let the man bun, but, yes. He looks good with a beard. He looks good without a beard. He looks good. He looks good with the hair short. He looks good with it long. I know we all have our preferences. I know Inda loves him with facial hair.
Yes.
And glasses.
Yes.
Okay. So does Katrina.
I like him in all, to be honest.
That's true. That's true. He's just fine. And he's from California as well.
Yes. I'm sorry. I don't even have anything to say except for.
Yes. She's just going to be our yes, quiet. That's cool. That's cool. He kind of just, takes the words away from you. So, yeah. So, to have him in photo shoots with the star of his movie, Idris Elba, that's just too much. That's too much fine. Mm. Y'all can't do me like that. That Variety cover messed me up. Mm. That's a lot of fine to put on one photo shoot. You need to come. That needs to come with a warning. You need to wrap that up like Playboy or something like that. Can't. So, he's got a nice voice too, a nice speaking voice. So it's just fun to hear him talk, which, makes that his appearance on KCRW's The Treatment this week all that much more enjoyable. So definitely check that out if you can. And if you're feeling down one day, just go in the Cary Fukunaga tag.
No.
Image search.
Image search. Tag is so weird.
Fukunaga. Okay. Yeah. Why is it weird?
Because this is the thing about him being a director. It's like people are, tagging him, obviously, in movies he's directed. And I'm like, I don't care about these white people in Jane Eyre. I'm trying to see Cary Fukunaga. So,
Oh, so they'll do, tag.
Like still, yeah.
Fassbender and what's her name? Wasikova.
Yeah.
Wasikova.
Yeah. Her.
And then tag it in the Cary Fukunaga.
Yeah, I told you, it's a lot of text posts and, film stills. But his interviews are great, though, and those are a little harder to find, but his Tumblr tag is full of them. But his face, that voice, that man bun.
that 6 foot two-ness.
Amen!
Like, something's in the water. All of these guys 6'2" or taller, it'd be fine as fuck, and also packing heat. It's not fair.
Amen.
God is good sometimes. Sometimes you just have to get religious when you talk about that print. And I'm going to hell for that, but oh well. It don't make it any less true. So, is there anything else that anybody else wants to say about Mr. Fukunaga? Don't give out your phone number.
Oh, okay. I was gone.
Not on air. Yeah, that's right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. I already did that. I tried to do that once, but I caught myself. Okay. Yeah. You know, but, you know, if you want to slide in my DMs, Carrie, at DustDaughter. DustDaughter. All right. Oh, one word. So, all right, we're going to move on to one more contestant this episode. That's Mr. Luke Cage himself, Mike Coulter. So, AKA the only rewatching Jessica Jones.
He's so pretty.
He's really pretty. He's really, 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 really pretty. And then he goes and smiles.
Yes.
And talks.
Yes.
And walks and wears really tight t-shirts.
Yes.
I think his t-shirts may be as tight as Chris Evans. I wouldn't mind seeing a contest of that.
I would not mind either. But also, he has that, like, I don't normally like peanut heads, but his little peanut head is so attractive.
Yes. Ugh. You just want to rub stuff on it.
Stuff.
Leave it there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to leave it there. Yes. I could be worse, but I'm going to leave it there. You just, he is really fine. Like, sometimes I just lose the plot on episodes of Jessica Jones because I'd be watching him. But when he took that saw or whatever to his stomach, I was like, no, baby.
Oh, yeah.
No. Anyway, okay, spoilers for Jessica Jones. But,
I mean, just imagine, like, him in his own show. Like, every single episode, you just get to see that, like, that little face with his little smile.
I'm delivered. Oh, God. I can't wait. That's going to be the blackest show ever.
Is it though? I'm so ready for it. It's Marvel.
Black is black for Marvel. We'll qualify. It'll be the blackest Marvel show. And you can easily say that because
it ain't hard. Marvel's white, yeah.
It ain't, no. So, oh man. I just don't know what else to say because he's so pretty.
So pretty.
He really is. And that his goatee is just,
yes,
so sculpted. I just,
and he's that, like, lovely even color of brown, you know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I mean, you want to say the obvious, you want to make the, almost want to make the obvious.
I'd get up just like that.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. He has a nice voice too.
Yes, he does. They really need to stop. You can't have it all. You can't. I can't. This is killing me. You can't have the body and the voice and the face and the hands and the skin and, oh my God. It's unfair. Oh, Enda, did we lose you? Did we lose you?
Hmm.
Uh-oh. Think we lost you. Come back. Come back, Enda. Oh. Enda's putting pictures in the chat. Okay. I can hear something.
Yeah.
Somebody's on that keyboard hella hard. So that is This Week in Net Print, and pictures will follow on our Twitter feed. So now, hopefully we can get Enda back to do womanist vocab. Take it away, Enda.
Okay, today's woman's full chant word is bionephrology. Bionephrology refers to a story in which the line between fact and fiction is blurred as a function of memory. This does not mean that the story is untrue or falsehood, but rather simply acknowledges that personal memories and or experience have a direct effect on the way we tell our stories and how they encompass. Audre Lorde coined the term for her 1982 work, Tsunami, a new spelling of my name. And as a disclaimer, I also add that my understanding of the term comes from my belief that Lorde is first heard to tell her first own story on her own terms. I am the father.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I think that's the only time I've ever heard of it. I wonder if anybody else has done biomythographies after her. I mean, they probably have, but they may not have called them that. But thank you for our woman vocab of the day. And before we close, I want to thank Katrina Jackson again.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. This was so fun. Thank you for sticking with us through Classy and Ratchet and
Ratchet.
More ratchet than classy, but you know, that's how we do. Thank you again. Everybody check out Encore by Katrina Jackson on Amazon. And hit her up on Twitter at Katrina Jax or on Goodreads. So, for Katrina Jackson, and then I have to give you 1, 2, 3.
I think I'll woke my cats up.
Darn it. We were on a roll for a while, but with that, just a reminder that you can contact us by tweeting us at blackgirlsquee, emailing us blackgirlsquee@gmail.com, sending us to our Tumblr, blackgirlsquee.tumblr.com, and leaving a 5-star review on iTunes. So, on behalf of Katrina and Inda, I just want to say thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.